We're sealing Fun Drive with a kiss. With the help of Psy, Canon Mulot, What, Big City, and Devours. With tunes by DJ Frankie Teardrop at Redgate Art Society on Friday, February 14th, aka Valentine's Day. It's all ages, $10, but no one turned away for lack of funds, and has a silent auction with prizes from businesses across Vancouver.
Thank you.
Love, CITR, and Discorder.
LGBTQ.
Dave Radio, Fridays at noon on CITR.
Wow, wow, Dave, you're so sway. Oh, Dave, I like your shave.
And we're the Daves. I'm David Badanek.
I'm Dave Campbell.
I'm Dave Frank.
We're the Daves.
And you're listening to CITR FM 101.9.
CITR Radio.
And these are the days of our lives.
It is Friday, the 7th of February, 2020. And this is Dave Radio with Radio Dave on the radio. We are broadcasting live on CITR 101.9 FM and streaming on the World Wide Web at CITR.ca from our studios underlooking the agora of the Palatial Student Nest on the Musqueam territory of Ulksen, better known to you as the Point Grey campus of the University of British Columbia. On the program today, it's day two of Fun Drive, your chance to help out all the great things we do here and get some swell gifts in return. We're aiming to raise $30,000 over the next week, and every little bit helps. You can make either a one-time donation or you can do it in monthly installments by going to citr.ca/donate. Or if you want to give us a call, at starting at 1 o'clock, we'll be taking calls at 604-822-8648. And while you're thinking about that, we'll be meeting with the creative team behind Gruesome Playground Injuries, a comedy about love and grievous bodily harm. And we'll also talk to Chelsea Haberlin, who is the co-director of Straight White Men, a subversive take on male privilege by young Jean Lee, which is on now at the Gateway. We'll also let you know about upcoming auditions and other theater stuff on the call board and lots of local music. It's Vancouver's go-to hour for local, independent theater, film, and music, and it starts right now. Don't touch that dial. And on the phone right now is Chelsea Haberlin. Hi, Chelsea.
Hello.
Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Good. So you had opening last night?
Last night was preview. We opened tonight.
Oh, exciting.
Oh. Hey,
yes. So tell us, give us a quick thumbnail on Straight White Men.
Yeah. So Straight White Men is kind of an interesting play to set up because in a way it's two shows.
Yeah.
It's a story about Ed and his three grown sons who come together for Christmas. They're all straight white men. And basically throughout the course of the play, you come to realize that one of the sons, the oldest son, the revered genius son, has decided to essentially step away from a life of achievement and success and career and marriage and money and instead choose a small life of domesticity and being useful and living with his father and to just kind of live a small, for him, meaningful life. And the way that you see throughout the course of the play, the way that his brothers and his dad respond to this choice that he's made. And through that, it's an examination of straight white male identity. Mm-hmm. The really interesting thing about the piece is that the whole play is told through the lens of two gender non-binary people of color who are called people in charge. And they set the stage, they control the pre-show, they have an intro, and then they set up each transition. And so you watch these straight white men like be watched by these people in charge throughout.
Mm-hmm. And do the people watching do they interact as well, or do they comment on what's going on?
They largely observe, and it's when, you know, when we were first starting to explore the play, we wondered about having them interject or kind of interact with the audience, and we found that just having straight white male identity scrutinized under a microscope, to have them actually watched as intersectional identity mm-hmm. by these people in charge, was a fascinating process. To see them through a different lens was yeah. really meaningful, and actually meant more than sort of, you know, comments that could be made. That the watching said a lot. The other thing I didn't say that I should say is that it's by Young Jean Lee,
right.
really incredible Asian American playwright.
Mm-hmm. And
who's actually the first Asian woman to be produced on Broadway.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
That
very
I didn't
recently.
Know. That's a, that's
recently,
astonishing.
Like, last year, how is that possible? Right?
Yeah.
She was. She's remarkable.
Yeah. Well, we saw another one of Young Jean Lee's play here last year, The Shipment.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually,
mm-hmm.
it was just a few months ago, which created a bit of a controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you expecting that kind of response with the straight white men?
Yeah, I am. She, her company, Young Jean Lee Theater Company, which I think is now disbanded, but the motto of the company was destroy the audience.
Right.
And that is actually very well suited to It's a Zoo. We've always produced plays that really challenge an audience
mm-hmm.
that are, you know, to a certain degree, kind of disagreeable or difficult, or you know, either in the way that we stage or the topics that we bring up, create a provocation for the audience.
Mm-hmm.
They're not shows you can just sit back and enjoy. They're plays that make you sit up and pay attention. And this play is along those lines. We've realized with every night of the show, we have the play, which is 90 minutes, and then we have a post-show or a sort of second act that is what we're calling a talk forward. So it's a audience conversation with a different featured speaker every night. And we did the first talk forward at the dress rehearsal, where we had a number of people there, and then last night at the preview we had one as well. And I was really reminded that this play is tough for people, and it makes them angry,
mm-hmm.
and it makes different people angry in different ways depending on who they are, which is really fascinating. If you're a white person, it's going to make you angry in a certain way. We had a lot of comments that were like, I don't understand how this is about whiteness at all, which is a lot about how, as white people, we don't see ourselves as having an identity.
Yeah.
You know, we see ourselves, I think, often as like, oh, we're just people.
That's
everyone
right. We're normal.
Us. We're normal. Everyone else is marginalized.
Yeah.
Everyone else is segregated. It's us who are normal. And then for people of color, it's really upsetting. it potentially really upsetting. That's me making broad strokes. I think for every single person, it's something different.
Yeah.
And so it's, you know, it's a fascinating play in that way. It also is a comedy, which is worth saying. It's really funny. Like, people laughed throughout to the bitter end last night,
yeah.
and then were heated in the talk back.
Yes.
Which I kind of love, that it's both things at the exact same time.
Well, you have those moments sometimes where you're watching something or listening to something, and you start to laugh, and then you realize, what am I laughing at? And then
this is absolutely
that's when the reflection comes in.
Totally, and it's you know, it's at the Gateway Theater, so that's an audience that is trained in musicals. Like,
yeah.
that's an audience that is trained to applaud after a song. And throughout the course of the play, the men sing a lot of songs and do a lot of dancing, and there's like things that are kind of performances of pop culture that they do throughout the show.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of them are really problematic. and at the end, and the audience would love them, and at the end of them, they'd applaud. And I was just thinking, I wonder if they're questioning that automatic response to applaud a musical number.
Yeah.
The musical number is essentially a performance of like a KKK dance. Like, they're it's really fascinating.
Mm-hmm. I want to talk a little bit more about the casting of the persons in charge, because I remember, like, we read audition notices on the show here, and I remember when you put the note out that there were some very specific requirements that you were looking for.
Yeah, I mean, the script really specifically calls for two gender non-binary people of color, you know, so ideally people who use they, them gender pronouns, ideally one of those people would be from the land for the play is being performed.
Right.
And we really weren't sure who would come out, because the truth is there aren't a lot of roles for people who identify that way in professional theater in Vancouver. And so we kind of cast the net far and wide and spoke to anyone we knew who might have those connections. And we were really thrilled with who came forward. And it was an interesting process, because what the play asks of those people is to be themselves. They are invited to rewrite the beginning of the play to match who they are. They are invited to dress in a way that suits them. The pre-show music is chosen by them. They are just invited to bring who they are, which is a big ask of anyone, especially someone who is from really traditionally very marginalized identity. It's a vulnerable thing to ask someone to do, but we were surprised by how honestly people brought themselves into the audition room. And the audition was largely conversation and kind of storytelling, just to kind of see what they were like when they spoke to an audience, and where the humor was and like that. We ended up casting kind of two Vancouver celebrities, Kim Mortal, who is a rapper and who was on the long list for the Polaris Prize last year and is a Filipino person. They're really remarkable. And Raven John, who is, if you've ever been to the cult, you likely know Raven, or if you attend events, Raven also hosts events. They're an Indigenous individual who just is in the community, and so many people know. So we found two people that are awesome, and they really have been so generous and helpful to us in this process.
Right. And you've also got a Vancouver celebrity playing the lead, Peter Anderson.
Yes, yes, we do. Yeah, he's awesome. He plays the dad, Ed, and he's just so heartwarming and funny. He's just such a beautiful presence on stage.
Wow. Well, it sounds wonderful. So you're just on for a week. You're on until the 15th.
It's such a short run. People have to act fast.
Yeah, get on there right now. So it's at the Gateway Theater in Richmond. So if you want to find out more, just go to gatewaytheater.com and look up Straight White Men and get on there.
That's right.
Great. Well, Chelsea, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about it. And, just wanted to acknowledge also your co-director, Faye Ness.
Ness is my co-director. That has been co-directing is potentially a really challenging place to be in, and it was a beautiful collaboration. Mm-hmm. Faye is a really, really incredible artist, and we had a really great time working together, which is very interesting, working across our differences, me as a straight white person, her as a queer Iranian woman, and just kind of bringing our different perspectives to this has been really fruitful.
Great. All right. Well, thanks very much. And we will talk to you again soon.
Cool. Thanks so much.
Great. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. So as we said, Straight White Men is on now at the Gateway. And one of the characters, the persons in charge, is played by Kim Mortal, who we know here as a musician. And this is one of their songs here.
Yes, yes, lioness, that's my sis. 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 She pushed me up my comfort zone, the cheerleader at every show. Boss ass Filipina with the laugh of a hyena. Name the date and she'll be there, but only if she really cares. Her Leo vibe is so strong and she's always on that new song. First child at a mom's womb, first to leave with their attitude. Always keeps it moving, only woman of color in the boardroom. I know what you're capable of, I've seen what you've gone through. I know that you'll make a party out of what you do. And when you move away, we'll watch you grow from a distance. A star expanding on a brilliant mission. We'll be swinging on the playground just on separate coasts. Shouting, keep going, sis, you're the motherfucking goat. When you move away, we'll watch you grow from a distance. A star expanding on a brilliant mission. We'll be swinging on the playground just on separate coasts. Shouting, keep going, sis, you're the motherfucking goat. Yes, yes, lioness, that's my sis. Yes, yes, lioness. That's my sis, yes, yes, lioness. That's my sis, yes, yes, lioness. That's
that's my sis. Life, love, and other mysteries. What's the point of this? You say make a dent in history, seal it with a kiss. Throw back to your surfer days. You're still yelling, catch the wave. Next door, next level, seize the day. I know you'll keep shuffling those tarot cards. Know that home is never far. Our bond's undeniable. You were my first miracle. Sister, I'm so proud of you. Do what you came here to do. Keep counting your angels and the baby steps to moon. And when you move away, we'll watch you grow from a distance. A star expanding on a brilliant mission. We'll be swinging on a playground just on separate coasts. Shouting, keep going, sis, you're the motherfucking goat. When you move away, we'll watch you grow from a distance. A star expanding on a brilliant mission. We'll be swinging on a playground just on separate coasts. Shouting, keep going, sis, you're the motherfucking goat. Yes, yes, lioness, that's my sis. Yes, yes, lioness. That's my sis, yes, yes, lioness. That's my sis, yes, yes, lioness. That's my sis.
CITR 101.9 FM, we are doing our annual fun drive this week from now until next Thursday at midnight, and we're aiming to raise $30,000 to help keep things going. Fortunately, we don't have to raise money to keep the lights on and the heat and the electricity going, but we do a lot here, and it does cost money. We hire some great staff here to provide a nice support system for all the different kinds of broadcasters. We have a whole range of different kinds of programming, and if you'll notice that all the programming is done by the people who actually produce and listen to it. So it's here for you too. Anybody who, you don't have to be a UBC student, you can be a member of the community, you can have access to our studios, our training, and you can even get on the air and become part of the media yourself. We also have Discorder magazine if you're interested in covering music and arts from a print perspective. We'll help you out with that as well. And it's all there because folks like you donate to our fund drive every year. And so all you have to do is go online to CITR.ca/donate and help make sure that CITR continues to be your voice and your frequency. And we'll look out for the swag. There's all kinds of great deals and bargains and treats and tote bags and all kinds of stuff that you can get for that as well, which we will talk about a little bit later. But right now we have three very distinguished guests in the studio. And we will start from my right, from your left. Please tell us who you are.
Hi, I'm Aino O'Dowd, and I play Doug in Until the Wants production of Gruesome Playground Injuries, which is just opened in the Culture Theatre.
I'm Jess Aquila Zimmerman, and I'm the director of Gruesome Playground Injuries.
And I'm India Shaw Smith, and I'm playing Kayleen in Gruesome Playground Injuries.
Well, thank you all for coming in. Now you just opened last night.
We did.
So how did that get? You're in the Culture Lab.
Yes.
Which is a nice little box, box theater and stuff like
box,
that. Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about, first of all, sort of what's the story? What is Gruesome Playground Injuries? What kind of a title is that anyway?
So I'll take that one. It is what it says. The play is about two people, Kayleen and Doug, who meet each other over the course of 30 years, and they are essentially kindred spirits. You could argue that they're soulmates, but they come in and out of each other's lives every 5 years or so, and every time they come back into each other's lives, they have a new injury. And sometimes...
So what, they meet at the emergency room? Or?
Yeah. A lot of the scenes are in a hospital room, a nurse's office of a school, or, even a psych ward at one point. And there's a lot of symbology or symbolism with regard to those injuries. It really just represents the walls that they put up around themselves to protect themselves from vulnerability and intimacy. And, if they were both healthy and if this was a perfect world, they'd be together.
Right.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Well, that's something we could say about most of us. But
Exactly.
Okay. Well, India, let's start with you. Tell us about your character.
So Kayleen's a fascinating character. She as Jess was saying, you see both her and Doug from age 8 to 38. Mm-hmm. And I think we've been doing a lot of backstory work to nuance all of our choices in each scene. And we, from doing a lot of like delving into Kayleen and her history, I think I've decided she's a character that kind of internalizes everything. Mm-hmm. And so she comes up against Doug in that way because he sort of externalizes everything. So there's a beautiful scene that I love that I think just really captures her, which is 13. It's called Limbo. And it's the third scene in the course of the play because it's all non-linear and all the scenes sort of jump back and forward all the time. So it goes from like 8 to 23 to 13 and mm-hmm. so on.
Yeah.
And she's quite defended and quite guarded. And she finds it a bit difficult to be intimate, and Doug's can very easily sort of open up to her and want a bit more connection or intimacy, and she finds that a little bit difficult. But you see at different parts of the play that through circumstances or injury or fear and a want of a connection with Doug, that she's able to open up in different ways and realizes that he is really meant for her.
Mm-hmm. Now, as you say, the play kind of jumps around in time.
Yeah, yeah.
How is that? Was that difficult to kind of nail down at where the character was at any particular point in her life?
Yeah, I think at first, but we tried to work sort of chronologically, sort of with in age when you rehearsed it. Yeah,
yeah.
And we were doing sort of backstory work, but then we also narrowed down specifically, you know, what month, where we were, how long it had been specifically since we'd last seen each other, what had happened during that time. And I think after working that out, then being able to put it back into place sort of out of order, it was quite challenging, but actually it then became a really beautiful way to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as the actors, I know, mate, I'm backstage, I have to be like, right, so here I am, I'm here now at this point. But I've loved that. It's been wonderful.
Wonderful. Yeah, great. Now, this is produced by you two. It was Untold Wants Theater.
Three of us are producing.
Oh, you three of you are. Okay, yeah. good.
So,
but you two started the company.
We did start the company.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah. So I just wanted to know a little bit about sort of the beginnings of what Untold Wants is, where it comes from. And
yeah, so the company started 4 years ago now.
Mm-hmm. 2016,
yeah. 4 years ago in Dublin. We were living in Dublin at the time, and we were kind of getting a little bit hungry for putting something on. We met doing our masters in Scotland way back when. And so we decided rather than waiting for work, we'd make our own and started the company.
That's how most of us work.
And it was the best choice we made.
Yeah.
And we opened in Dublin with the premiere of
the
Irish premiere of Neela Butte's Reasons to Be Pretty.
Mm-hmm.
In Smock Alley, which is a great little theatre. And since then, we moved to Vancouver, and then within a year of living here, we started to feel the itch again.
Yeah.
And then did The Human Ear by Alexander Wood. And now we're just getting the ball rolling. We started, so why stop?
Yeah. What brought you to Vancouver?
We wanted to change. So Jess is originally from California, and I'm from Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of friends who moved out here, and they told us all the wonderful reasons to come to Vancouver.
We followed the work.
We came out for a visit one Christmas, and on a rainy, muggy, miserable December evening, we fell in love with the city.
So if you can fall in love with it that way, then you're safe.
Yeah, so we just moved out, and that's why. And so we figured, why not bring what we know and do what we can to mm-hmm. keep this culture alive and growing. And the wonderful art scene, the beautiful theater scene that exists below the surface in Vancouver is amazing.
Yes, yes.
And India, you're from Ireland as well?
No, I'm from England.
You're from England?
Yeah.
Okay, so how did you meet with these two?
So I did an intensive workshop earlier in the year with Jess and Aina and Jess's mum, Deb Aquila, and mm-hmm. Then I just fell in love with their process and the way that they work, and knew immediately that I wanted to work with them some more. So I did their scene study classes during the summer, and then from there we decided to do the play.
Like that. Let's do
pretty
it.
Much.
Just what drew you to this particular play?
So I have a little bit of a history with this play.
Mm-hmm.
I I was able to, so during doing my master's in Scotland, I'm originally from California, mm-hmm. so I went back to California during the summer, and in between doing my master's, and you have to do these things called like a placement. It's like an internship mm-hmm. With a theater company, and this theater company called Rogue Machine Theater Company in LA was doing Gruesome. And I was placed there for 2 weeks doing an internship, learning under Larissa Coconut, who is one of the most brilliant directors I've ever seen work. And I fell in love with this piece. I fell in love with Rajiv Joseph. I started reading everything that he has written. I started seeing everything he's done. There was a production of Guards at the Taj at the Geffen that very same year. And then I was very fortunate enough to see the original Bengal Tiger at the Baghdad Zoo before it moved to New York.
Really?
Yes.
Was Robin Williams doing it then?
He was not. Okay. He was not. No, it was another actor. He uh-huh. joined when it moved to Broadway.
Right.
But so I just fell in love with Rajiv's work. And I have a dear friend of mine, Brad Fleischer, who was the original Doug. We all just kind of, you know, it was this thing that has been like following me, and I was like, you know what, we got to do this. We got to just explore this.
It followed me home.
Yes, can we yes, keep it? Yeah. So I was like, we just got to do this, and Aina is just he is Doug.
Yeah.
Mine are the horrible injuries.
The horrible injuries and self destruction.
Yeah, I managed to not hurt myself in drastic ways every yeah. couple of years.
Well, love hurts. What are you gonna do?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And this is our fourth production, our third in Vancouver. So yeah. we just closed a play in December.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We're exhausted.
Yeah. Yeah. This is a learning curve in a lot of ways.
Yeah. We did a show called Cock in December.
Oh, right. Yes, yeah. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Didn't get to see it, but I remember when it was out. Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know. Yeah. You missed it.
I know. I miss a lot. And I get free tickets.
Well, yeah.
Let us know.
Let us know when you want to see Gruesome.
Yeah, yeah. I will. Yeah. Thanks. Great.
Yeah.
Well, thanks a lot, the three of you, for coming in. This is all very exciting. And we're, you know, we're always happy to have new, exciting theater companies in to talk about their work.
Thank you for having us.
The show is open for another week. So
yeah.
if anyone wants to
see it. Get down and see it. Gruesome Playground Injuries at the Culture Lab. Which is the blockhouse right at the corner of Venables and Victoria.
Mm-hmm.
And you can where do people get tickets?
So
you can
at the Culch.
Yeah.
On the Culch's website. You can also visit our website, untoldwants.com,
mm-hmm.
For links to the ticket page. Yeah. We also have a Facebook group and an Instagram. It's running until the 15th.
Yeah. So go see it.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And anti-Valentine's
Day.
Yes.
Come celebrate your Palentine's Day. Yeah. Gruesome Playground Injuries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Terrific. All right, thank you both for coming in.
Thank you.
We will we'll talk to you again soon.
Fundrive 2020, CITR's annual fundraising week, is happening between February 5th and February 14th. This is the 1 week of the year where we ask you to dig deep and give what you can to support local independent community radio. Our goal this year is to raise $30,000, which is a lot, but with your help, we can definitely get there. This year's Fundrive theme is Crush on CITR, and we've got some amazing Crush-appropriate swag for you when you donate. We're talking about branded CITR and Discorder candy hearts, limited edition toques and mugs, and even on-air song dedications. That's right, donate the right amount and you can publicly express your crush on someone in maybe the most romantic way possible, by dedicating a song to them which will play on CITR on Valentine's Day. Fundrive is happening February 5th to the 14th, but you can show your love for CITR right now by going to citr.ca/donate. And thank you.
That's why they call them crushes. 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 Crushes.
Yeah, crush it. Now, on kind of a sad note, this weekend we are going to gather to remember our dear friend, Ron Baldwin. Ron passed away on the 20th of January after a short illness. Now, I've known Ron for a long time, nearly 40 years. We first met at the Railway Club. We spent many hours together as customers and then later as staff members. And I have lots of fond memories. Meals at the Onlock, movies at the Golden Harvest and Cinematheque, shows at the Commodore, All-Star Wrestling. We did a little work on TV, a little show called Amazing Powers. We did some radio together. Ron was one of those guys who kind of knew something about everything. And he just wasn't, he wasn't somebody that, like, he made sure that if he was going to talk about something, he knew what he was talking about. So he read constantly. He was just brilliant. He could carry on, he can carry on intellectual conversation about any subject. It's fascinating. His favorite subjects were things like medieval Japanese history and the Second World War. He loved playing chess and Go, which if you never played Go, you should give it a shot because it's crazy. He was a fixture of the punk scene right from the very beginning. He was always at the Buddha and at, you know, the Russian Hall and the Oddfellows Hall and all of the other venues where punk got started in Vancouver. Go look him up on Facebook. Just look up Ron Baldwin on Facebook, and you will see reams of comments from people remembering him as a sweet and gentle guy, which he was. I'm really glad that I had an opportunity to hang out with him on his last birthday. Hadn't seen him for a while, kind of lost touch, as it often happens. But we did get to hang out with him on his birthday. And it's a bit rough, an old friend like that. I said we did some radio together in 1984. Ron was a regular on a show called The Voice of Freedom, which was heard right here on CITR. He gave commentaries as the character of U.S. Marine Sergeant S.D. Cox. And a couple of years after that, he came by and did one of his commentaries for us on the Crack of Noon show. And it just so happened that the commentary was about the nuclear disaster at Chernobyl, which you will probably know about because of the TV series on HBO. But we were able to dig up Ron's commentary, and this is what he sounded like in May of 1984 as Sergeant S.D. Cox.
All right, y'all better listen up and listen good. This is Sergeant S.D. Cox, U.S. Marine Corps, talking, and the subject is Chernobyl, a word that strikes terror into the hearts of all God-fearing, freedom-loving people throughout the world. Chernobyl, the communist nuclear reactor that is spreading a deadly cloud of Russian nuclear fallout over the face of the Earth. I'm talking hard commie radiation like cesium, iodine, and strontium-90 that attacks your muscles and thyroid glands and creates mutant offspring. They're telling you this shit will disappear in a few days. Bullshit. It's got a half-life of 50 to 100 years and will soon permeate a vast percentage of the Earth's air, food, and water. And get this, I have a globe in front of me and I can draw a straight line from Chernobyl through Sweden and it runs right through this city. You have been disinformed. Your commie assholes will never tell the truth if they can lie, and have condemned millions of people to a hideous doom. It was in our rain before we even heard about it. It's in your balls right now. It's in our food and our goddamn beer, and it's creating a whole generation of Russian mutants with two heads and three eyes and their fingers on the buttons of total nuclear annihilation. Why the hell we didn't blow them all to oblivion years ago is beyond me. Think of it, a whole army of mongoloid commie geeks raised on radioactive turnips and poison vodka, spreading their disease over the face of the Earth, along with biological weapons from their immense supplies of nerve gas, shellfish toxin, and anthrax. A fanatical horde of drooling subhumans. Commie geeks, what the hell can you do about it? Nothing. It's too late. If your kid's born inside out, you're shit out of luck. Try suing the Russians. A vast area of Europe and the Eastern Bloc has been contaminated for decades to come, and the food and water from this area will be distributed throughout the world, and you are not immune. Fortunately, many of the victims will be supporters of the so-called International Peace Movement, a communist front group thoroughly infiltrated and financed by the KGB. They can shove that up their ass while their hair falls out at the next peace march. And you can bet it'll happen again. The Chernobyl reactor is of a type common in the Soviet Union, a nation committed to the blind pursuit of insane goals, no matter what the cost in human life. And while you're chewing that one, remember, the Russian chemical plant's producing and stockpiling vast supplies of nerve gas and disease viruses. An explosion at any one of these plants could release enough toxin to kill everyone on Earth 1,000 times over. As for me, I don't give a shit. I'm taking the next plane to American Samoa and buying 1,000 cases of Australian beer. Sergeant S.D. Cox signing off.
If you want to join us in remembering Ron, there will be a service at the Glenhaven Chapel on Hastings Street Sunday morning at 10 o'clock.
One thing that makes CITR such a special place is that we've been hosting a Canadian music icon on our airwaves for over 3 decades. So we called another Vancouver 101 radio station to see if they also host him.
Good afternoon, Rock 101.
Hi, is it your station that has the show with that guy? He's that It's that really like kooky guy, wears like the Scottish hat. He's like pretty famous. I think he's interviewed like Nirvana and Drake and Jean Chrétien and Jagmeet Singh. And you know who I'm talking about?
No, not that I'm aware of.
He's got like that catchphrase. It's like doo 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 doo. Nardwar, that's it. Nardwar. Do you have Nardwar?
No, I don't think so. No.
Oh, okay. What do you know what station he is at?
Let me see. CITR. What station is that?
Oh, that's 101.9 FM. CITR.
Yeah, 101.9. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, thanks so much for your help. Thank you.
No problem.
Okay. Yeah. Bye-bye. Bye-bye. That's right, only CITR 101.9 FM has Nardwar the Human Serviette, which should be reason enough to donate during Fund Drive. So visit citr.ca/donate or call 604-822-8648.
Wait, not yet, it's not over yet. Just hold on there. Nardwar will be here, though, in a couple hours. He's on every Friday at 3:30 right here at CITR 101.9 FM. Hey, it's our fund drive. We are raising money. That's what we're doing. We're raising funds to help keep CITR going, keep doing what we do. And if you want to be a part of that, just go to citr.ca/donate and make sure that when you make your donation, you tell them that you heard about it on Dave Radio, because then I get credit for it. And then they let me stay on the air. And if you donate, you will also get prizes and swag and tokens and stuff. There are at different, it's just like PBS, at different giving levels, you get different prizes, but there's stuff like candy hearts. There's a customized CITR and Discorder mug that says, "Don't talk to me until I've had my Discorder." There's CITR toques. There's an on-air song dedication for Valentine's Day, where if you donate, it's only $15 a month, and you can get a song dedicated for Valentine's Day, which would be a very nice thing to do. There's also the Fishbowl Tape, which is a compendium of songs recorded by right here in our studios. It's bands that have performed in our CITR studios, usually Thursday nights on Thunderbird Radio Hell, but other days and times as well. And it's all there on the Fishbowl Tape. You can get a framed cover of Discorder magazine, a great local rag that's been around for almost 40 years and almost as long as CITR has been around. And you can get your favorite copy. You can get the framed cover for that. And for $500 donation or $35 a month, you can host your own show on CITR. Of course, you know, buy a membership, go through the training, you can get a regular show like this one. But if you just want to do a one-time thing and help out CITR, you can get on board with that, and all kinds of other stuff too. So just go to citr.ca and look for the, you can either type in /donate, or you can go to the links that'll take you to the fund drive, and you can find out more about what we're up to here. Okay, let's see. I'm just flipping between my head and the buttons here to see if I got time to do that, but I'm going to do this instead. It's time now for the CITR Dave Radio Call Board, featuring auditions and calls for crews, musicians, and other contributors for productions around Metro Vancouver. It's our belief that auditions announced here should be open to artists of all cultural, sexual, gender, ability, and other identities. In fact, we encourage everyone to read for everything. There's a bunch of general auditions coming up. Western Gold Theater at the Performing Arts Lodge, the PAL Studio Theater. Those will be happening in February the 25th and 26th. In attendance will be Artistic Director Tanya Dixon Warren, and also Anna Hagen, Michael Farah, and Glenn McDonald. And Western Gold Theatre is the only professional theatre company in Western Canada solely devoted to providing work for and supporting the artistic practices of Canada's veteran theatre artists of 55 plus. But they also are committed to welcoming younger colleagues and emerging theatre artists to share the stage. They say creativity has no expiry date. So if you want to get on in Western Gold Theatre, you can send your headshot and resume to Stephanie Hargraves. And her email address is casting@westerngoldtheatre.org. Bart on the Beach is doing their general auditions in March. The deadline for submission on that is the 21st of February. And you can find out more information by going to the Bard website and look up current occupation opportunities /auditions. And then there's the Greater Vancouver Professional Theatre Alliance General Audition. This is for everybody else. This is companies of various sizes and ages and that, and casting directors throughout all those regional theatre companies will be in attendance. And they're a mix of CTA, ITA, other local theatre companies. So their auditions are going to be set up for the 7th and 8th of April. The application deadline is February 10th. Now, if you're not a full member of Equity, they ask you to do a qualifying audition first, and that'll happen in March. So send your application in, do the qualifying audition in March, and then if you pass that, then you get the general audition in April, and April 7th and 8th. And then we've got Theater Under the Gun, which is a deadline-driven, insomnia-fueled creation where you can be one of the creators. And what happens is on the 19th of April, the artists that are selected to participate will gather together, and they will be given certain bits of dialogue and props and settings and all kinds of things, and then they have 48 hours to put together a play, a short piece, and then it will be presented on stage on the 21st of April. So you want to get on board with that? You can apply to theaterwire.com and just go to their blog. But deadline for that is today. Today is the deadline to apply for Theater Under the Gun. So get on board. We got a couple of workshops to tell you about as well. Our friend Sean Harris Oliver from Hardline Productions is going to be teaching a writing intensive workshop this spring. It's designed for emerging writers who want to hone their craft, develop professional practices, and find out how to get funding to support their work. We're all taught about how to do the job, but we're not taught about how to get the job paid for. So Sean will be providing a lot of stuff about that. The checklist on it is the objectives of the workshop will be to improve skills, properly format plays and full-length feature scripts, develop and maintain habits of professional writers, tips on marketing, publishing, and producing, how to write grants and secure money, and to find representation, managers and agents, and all that kind of stuff. So it's a very practical workshop for people that actually want to make a living of being a writer, stage or screen, whatever works for you. So it's happening in March at the Holy Trinity Church at 12th and Hemlock. There will be four sessions of 5 hours each. It costs $300 plus the cost of materials, and they will accept check or credit card online through PayPal. So if you want to find out more, you can go to Sean's website, which is seanharrisoliver.com, or you can send him an email at hardlinevancouver@gmail.com. And then we've got the Stage Presence Workshop, which is Le Jeu en Complicité Fundamentals, led by Chloe Payne. And this is all about getting out of your head and learning to play. It's inspired by the work of French clown master Philippe Gollier, and students will learn to play, develop complicity, gain sensitivity, and embrace taking risks. It happens starting on the 21st of February. Registration deadline is the 19th. And if you want to find out more about that, you can go to Chloe's website, which is Chloe Alice Payne. It's spelled CHLOEALICEPAYNE.com. The Cold Reading Series is back. They happen once a month at the VFS Cafe, which is at 390 West Hastings Street. It's a volunteer-run program that hosts cold reading events featuring new works from screenplays to songs. Bringing together Vancouver's community of artists, they showcase the best new scripts, casting them from actors selected from the audience. And then watch them fly. They can be thrilling, moving, funny, but it's always live. And you never know what's going to happen. The Cold Reading Series is also a place for Vancouver artists to meet one another, share their work, and create more. So come on out, be part of the creative process. It happens this coming Monday, February 10th, at the VFS Cafe, 390 West Hastings. Doors open at 6:30. Show starts at 8 o'clock, and there is a minimum of $5 donation requested when you show up at the door. Now, we've got some auditions to go through as well. We've got Moving Mirror Productions doing Miscast, a Broadway cabaret. That's going to be up in the end of February. They're looking for some volunteers to donate some evenings for their after-school program. So performers will be asked to prepare one or two selections of their own choice, thinking of numbers for characters that you would not normally be cast in. It could be the wrong age, wrong gender, wrong ethnicity, but if you've always wanted to play a number for that character, this is your chance. And that's why it's called Miscast. If you want to find out more, go to Moving Mirror Productions, or you can email them at movingmirrorproductions@gmail.com. North Shore Light Opera is doing Gilbert and Sullivan's Patience, a modernized version. And that's going to be happening at Presentation House in North Van in May. The auditions are tomorrow, February 8th, at North Lonsdale United Church. And in addition to the four major principals, there are a number of quality character parts, as well as the full SATB chorus. And if you want more information on that, their website is nslos.com. Naked Stage Productions is a Reader's Theater, and they're doing Murder by Default by Bettine Manctello, and that is that is a mystery about a sudden death in a housing complex for retired thespians. Funny, I think we did one like that at Western Gold. Anyway, the production is going to be in Newton in April. The auditions are Sunday and Monday at the Newton Cultural Center. You don't have to prepare anything. Just show up and they'll do cold readings from the script. And just check out Naked Stage Productions online. Holy Crow Arts Society is doing Too So Damn Proud by Justin Neal. This is an interdisciplinary play that weaves mystery, drama, humor, contemporary dance, and elements of traditional Coast Salish performance to tell a unique and powerful story of mixed-race North American family. The show is happening in July. The auditions are next weekend, February 15th. They're looking for four females and two male actors. It's open to trans non-binary performers as well. Ethnicity, race, gender, open to all. Dancing roles must have a minimum of intermediate-level dance ability. And the two lead characters, Joanne and Joe, must be filled by Indigenous performers. The lead is Joanne and Joe. It's one actor playing two characters, but they want an Indigenous performer, ideally a Coast Salish performer for that one. SoDamnProud.com is the website where all the details are sitting. We've got the Heroic Opera Company doing Verdi's Don Carlos. That's up at the Orpheum Annex in July. The auditions are the 21st of February, and deadline for registration on that one is February 20th. That's if you want to submit rather than show up. So the auditions are on the 20th, but deadline for submissions, send in a recording or something like that, is February 20th. And you can submit your headshot and resume or your audition piece to heroicopera@gmail.com. Theater in the Country is doing Catch Me If You Can, the musical. This is a stage musical which is based on the movie, it's a kind of a jazz-infused tale. It's happening in Langley in June. The auditions are February 16th and 17th. Go to theaterinthecountry.com/auditions for all the details on that one. We've got Next to Normal, a world premiere bilingual production, which is going to be happening in October, and the auditions are in late February at Carousel Theater. This is a bilingual production in Korean and English, so you need to know both languages to be able to do that one. Specifically right now, they're looking for two actors, one to play Diana and the other play Dan. These are female and male characters between the ages of 40 and 45. And all the details are at Eyagi Productions, EYAGIPRODUCTIONS@gmail.com. White Rock Players are doing Spamalot, the Eric Idle musical based on Monty Python and the Holy Grail, and that's going to be up in June. The auditions are happening in March, and there's a whole range of characters lined up for that one. So go to White Rock Players Club to find out all the details on getting on to Spamalot. The auditions for that are March the 1st. And finally, Gotta Sing, Gotta Dance Musical Theater Camp is doing Wild West Side Story for children aged 9 to 19 who love to sing, dance, act, and perform. The auditions are in March and April at the Jewish Community Center. And just go to gottasinggottadance.ca to find out more details. If you want details on these and other audition notices, go to vancouveractorsguide.com or Vancouver Public Library at vpl.ca. And if you have a notice that you like read on the air, you can share it on the Dave Radio Facebook page, or you can email daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. Now we'll play it. And that's our show. Thanks for spending your Fun Drive lunch hour with us. Remember, if you have a song that needs airplay, a show that needs audience, an audition that needs actors, a class that needs students, or a film shooting that needs background, we're here for you. Send your details to daveradiopodcast@hotmail.com. Like us on Facebook, or you can get us on Twitter and Instagram at CITR Dave Radio. Stick around, because Audrey is up next with Too Dreamy. Looks like she's got a guest as well, so that'll be fun. And Beppe Crespin's in it too. And as I said before, Nardwar the Human Serviette, our own national treasure and star on the BC Entertainment Walk of Fame, will be here at 3:30. It's Fun Drive. Get on CITR.ca/donate, or it's 1 o'clock, so the phone lines are open now at 604-822-8648 to help keep CITR going strong and proud. And Dave Radio will be back next week at this same time. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
In the beginning, it was going quite well. Interest was sparking and everyone else could tell. Ooh, maybe with a little bit of time, we'll have to see. But is it possible that you have thought about me? And if it were so, I'd be lucky. And soon your name was all that I knew. It came together, it was too good to be true. Then you turned around and there was this new girl. Little did I know she would become your world. And if it were me, I'd be lucky. Now she's the one who gets to know you better. When it gets cold outside, she'll wear your sweater. And you take your time perfectly. She'll say you're mine and you'll agree. But I hope you will see she's lucky.
CITR, we work really hard to empower our community by getting that community on air. That means you, listening right now, can have a show on CITR